Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Five one double five one. Wash your hands. Well, I'd say Fianna Fáil would be hoping to wash their hands today of the Barry Cowan controversy, that he was banned from driving for 3 months in 2016 over alcohol. And it's now emerged, as Philip Ryan said this morning, of the Irish Independent, who have been breaking the story, Fionnán Sheehan and Philip Ryan, you don't want them to find out that you were fined for speeding just a few weeks previously. But that's what Barry Cowan has been. And then this revelation that he was on a provisional licence for 48 years, I think. Let me go to two people who have contacted us. Hilary Murphy. Hilary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Why have you contacted us?
Well, this happened 4 years ago with Barry Cowan. And 4 years ago, our 16-year-old daughter was killed by somebody driving a car with a provisional licence, mm-hmm. or a learner permit, as it should be called. So it really grieves me to see what's going on with people driving around without licences. And if they had any idea of the consequences of their actions, I wonder, you know, would they continue, or they should really think about it. In this case, we have a government minister without a license, drink driving and speeding. I mean, what kind of a message is that sending out to the young people of Ireland?
And first of all, condolences on the death of your daughter. She was 16, Katie, and I know you sent in a photograph as well. The driver, you say the car, is it the car she was in, Hilary, was driven
the
by?
The car she was in, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it was driven by a youngster from Tramore, Edward O'Shea. His parents have a garage in Tramore. So at 17 years of age, they allowed him to drive the car.
Well, we don't know, I don't know who allowed who, no. But anyway, he got in the car.
Yeah, he called out to the house and Katie got into the car with him to go for a drive. We had gone out for a walk that night and Katie stayed behind to finish her homework. But unfortunately, he called to the house and she agreed to go for a drive. There was four people in the car. And he was driving a Japanese import souped up coupe thing.
Was there anyone else killed in the accident?
No, the driver escaped unscathed. The passenger in the front seat suffered a brain injury. And the girl in the back beside Katie had a lot of bones broken, serious injuries, pelvis, collarbone, ribs.
Yeah,
she's had a number of operations since.
Stay with us, Hilary. Jimmy Cleary has contacted us as well. Jimmy is a driving instructor. Jimmy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. First of all, let me speak directly there to Hilary. My deepest condolences on the loss of your daughter. That must be tragic for you. It really and truly is, you know. Sorry, Joe, go on.
Just explain the situation to us, as you understand it from what you've read in the newspapers. Was it 48 years on a provisional licence?
Well, he's 48 years old. He probably, I don't know when he got his first provisional license or learner's permit, as it's called now, okay?
Okay.
Was he 17 or 18 when he got his first provisional license? Or was it after 2011? Now, if it was after 2011, did he sit the 12 mandatory driving lessons that everybody has to do? Did he allow his provisional license to run out for 5 years? If your provisional license or learner's permit runs out and you don't renew it, you have to mandatory sit the 12 mandatory driving lessons.
Okay.
There's so many questions.
Okay, so he's 48 master. Years of age, so you're presuming he was driving for maybe 30 years?
Possibly.
Yeah, okay. Have you heard of anyone driving for 30 years on a provisional license?
No. I had one lady that was driving for 20 years on a provisional license. And you see, there's a loophole in this country. And it's absolutely
crazy. What is the loophole?
Okay, the loophole in this country, if I'm 17 or 18 years of age and I get my first provisional license or learner's permit, I'm going to have that for 2 years. In that 2 years, I'm supposed to do a driving test.
Yeah.
Okay, so what they're doing in this country, they'll apply for their driving test within that 2 years and they won't bother turning up for it. Now they have a receipt that they applied for their driving test. They can now go along to the local authority as it used to be, or the new people that are issuing the licenses, and say, I applied for my driving test and I now need another provisional license. They will get another provisional license for another 2 years and they can drive at home.
But hang on, isn't there stipulations with a provisional license? And that is, must you have a qualified driver in the car with
Correct.
Okay, so that's one question.
In 2016, when Barry Cohn was stopped, did he have a qualified driver with him? And if there wasn't a qualified driver with him, why didn't the Gardaí take the car off of him, which they're supposed to do if you're unaccompanied? And did he actually, when he was breathalyzed, did he drive away? Who collected him? There are so many questions. And you say, the politicians in Dáil Éireann, they won't ask the questions. I mean, I've written out 9 questions here.
Well, call them out. Call them out to me then.
Okay, I'll call them out to you. When did he get his first permit?
Okay.
Did he do his 12 EDTE driving lessons? Was he driving alone when he was stopped in 2016? Let me see now. Was he claiming expenses while he was driving illegally up to Dáil Éireann?
Well, travel expenses, according to, the Irish Independent, he claimed 7,166 in travel allowance.
Travel allowance,
for the 3 months.
Did he employ somebody so to drive him to Dáil Éireann? Okay. Let me see now. Did he get penalty points? How many penalty points did he get? Who's his insurance company? There are so many questions.
Do you have to wear, by the way, if you're on a provision license, you have to wear an L plate, do you not?
So you do, yes. You have to have an L plate in your car. And if he passed the driving test, where are his N plates? I saw a clip of him getting out of his car the other evening. A big, huge scratch on his car as well, I might add. And also, there was no N plates in his car. So if he passed his driving test 2 years ago, he should have had his N plates up. And also, the worst of all, though, there was legislation enacted in 2019 by the Minister for Transport at the time. Okay, now he was part of a political organisation that was offering confidence and supply. Okay, why did he not recuse himself? He should have went to his leader and said, "Listen, I cannot vote for this legislation because I broke the law. I was caught speeding and I was caught for drunk driving. I have to recuse myself from this." Why didn't he make it open to the public? It ranks at coming back to Fianna Fáil again. They're in power a couple of wet days and they're up to their old tricks. He's making a statement at 8:30 tonight. It's crazy.
Why is it crazy that the whole situation is crazy? Okay, there's more questions.
Yeah, there's more questions. Like he sat in an RTE studio last Sunday and he basically said it was a lapse of judgment. A lapse of judgment to us, as I'm concerned. If I wear a dirty shirt going to an interview, that's a lapse of judgment. He was driving around for 8 years on a provisional license. That is not a lapse of judgment. That is rank hypocrisy. And it's unbelievable. All those people that were killed on Irish roads by drunk drivers with a provisional license, they should all be up in arms today. Really and truly. I mean, it's an absolute disgrace.
Apparently,
he should literally fall on his sword.
In the Irish Examiner, Minister Barry Cowan, said he had driven without a fully licensed driver with him at times, but was not unaccompanied at the time of the offence.
Okay. There was somebody with him, but did that person have a driver's license?
Yeah, but he admits that he has driven without a fully licensed driver.
Well, he was breaking the law, and that's scandalous. It really and truly is. It smacks in the face. He's a legislator. He's now he's totally compromised. How can he go to Europe to represent farmers? He broke the law. He broke the law of the land, so people will just scoff at him.
But in fairness, now the law is calibrated that if you're on a provisional license, the the drink drive threshold is lower than if you're on a full licence. And two, he was given the lowest form of sanction, so to speak, and that is a fine, but he held on to his licence. And three, that he has displayed nothing but contrition since this story broke last Friday.
He should have made a contrition in 2016. Joe, it's as simple as this. If you're over the legal limit for driving in this country, when you're breathalysed, you're drunk. If you're under it, you're not drunk. So was he over it? Yes, he was drunk driving. End of story. He was a drunk driver.
There's another bizarre element in the Irish Independent today about he's appeared in a number of made a number of court appearances for parking tickets in Tullamore and Portlaoise in 2006, £200 for illegally parking on Main Street, Portlaoise. 2005, that was in May 2005, £250 in December for parking on Patrick Street, Tullamore, another £100 for parking on the same spot in February 2005. He was fined £100 for parking on O'Connor Square, Tullamore. And at the time of the parking offences, he was a councillor and the council would have imposed the parking limitation. But anyway, don't comment on it. Kevin O'Rourke, yeah. Kevin, 51551, watch on joe@rt.ie. Kevin, your point, please.
Well, I just want to say that if he was appointed to the Minister of Transport, this wouldn't be an issue. He'd be gone immediately. He wouldn't be able to stay. But they all say that it's one cabinet. They stand for one. And so, therefore, he is really a cabinet minister. And he will have a vote in various topics, and transport will be one of them. And I was very surprised to see the leader of the Green Party, the Minister for Transport, coming out and giving him so much support yesterday.
And the Minister for Justice did as well.
Yeah.
And the Taoiseach.
Yeah. No,
So that's three different political parties. I know they're all in government, but they've all said it's in the past, please.
He made a mistake. It's only in the past for him. In 2016, when this happened, he should have gone to Micheál Martin and said, listen, I have a problem. This is after happening. And it could have been made public then. And by now, it might have all been over for everybody. But it was just made public. It wasn't made public in 2016 for everybody. It was his private story, and he told nobody. Now, it goes back to the election. Would the people of Offaly have said, yes, this is a man with the credibility to vote in, with what you're after outlining yourself? Would he have been made the Minister for Agriculture had these issues, been known by Micheál Martin? He certainly had an obligation to tell the leader of his party, I have this problem, and I've been caught for speeding, I've been caught for driving without a fully qualified driver beside me, and I've been done for drink driving. And anybody who works in any company in Ireland would have to go to the respective boss and say, listen, this is after happening. Now, I don't want to kick the man, and I don't think he should be thrown into Fianna Fáil. But there is, I think, really, that he should stand down. I think he should be put back on the back benches. And maybe in 2022, when Leo gets into power, if he does, that he'd say, well, he's now served his time, the public are aware of what's happened, and I will now promote him back into his ministerial position. Because he is a minister, and he's a minister for the country, and they absolutely ram it down our throats every time that they speak, that they're not a cabinet minister, they're ministers for the country. So he's a minister that represents everybody, and they're all the same. But I was very surprised at the Minister for Transport, and the Minister for all of them, for giving him so much support. I mean, at least one of them should have stood up and said, well, actually, what he did was wrong. I'd have great admiration for that. But for that to have not happened, I think, was an absolute disgrace. But I just don't think he has a leg to stand on.
PJ McAvoy. PJ, good afternoon. Hello, PJ.
Hello.
Yes, PJ. Is that PJ? PJ,
yes,
McAvoy.
Sure.
Yeah, your point, please.
Joe, well, I'm just a little bit fascinated by all of this particular debate. Mm-hmm. I understand that the rules and regulations and all of the laws referring to drink driving and all the associated points relating to that, they're all created by the ROCTIS, the rules, the regulations, and all that goes with it. this particular gentleman was out that particular evening, and he was stopped, and he was subsequently got a summons in relation to his drinking, whatever. Now, the rules and regulations at that point in relation to a drink or to a provisional driver was that, first of all, there was enough of blood or alcohol in his blood to charge him under the upper charges. But the point is, why now? I understand I have been involved in the prison service all my adult life. I've been to court practically every day with people and prisoners and people who weren't prisoners before the courts and whatever. The court deals with the matters. The law which creates all these rules and regulations, if you're brought before the court, that's the situation you're brought before. And in his case, if it's not before the court, it's within the drinking rules and regulations. And when that happened, that walk, the man paid his fine. He got his suspension for 3 months. And why now? Why now? Are we going
hang on, PJ. The why now is very simple, really, isn't it? The why let me tell you why I think it's why now. The why now is because he was made. He was elevated to one of the highest offices in the land last Saturday week. That's the why now.
I know several people.
I don't know how the Independent got the scoop, but I presume that's why.
Okay, I know. Listen, put it this way. I would know in my former profession, I know several people who became very high-powered and very well-known independent and different professions afterwards in their life, after convictions. And would they like to have all this slapped on them? Have we not a system in this country that the court deals with and the statutory laws deals with if you report the court or you're accused?
Okay, well, let me put that to Jimmy, for example, and then I'll put it to Hillary. Jimmy, it happened, the law took its course, and that was the end of it.
No, there's a fundamental principle involved here, and he's missing the point completely about why now. I mean, he's completely missing the point.
Well, I will tell him.
The man now represents every citizen in this country. He's the minister. He is now a government minister, and he should be above reproach. He sat in Donal Éireann. He listened to Shane Ross while Shane Ross was enacting legislation, and he sat in the chambers, and he offered his support. He's offered confidence and supply. He never mentions to his leader, I have a situation here. I need to recuse myself from taking a vote and offering my confidence and supply because I am compromised. He never mentions nothing. It's only after coming out now.
He wasn't compromised. No, excuse me. Just let me make my point. The rules and regulations are the rules and regulations. Was there a rule and regulations within the framework of Leinster House that in the event of a person has a drink-driving conviction, if he has a criminal allegation or charge against him, that he has to inform the Oireachtas or he has to inform people of authority? That's not the reality.
Well,
in fairness,
Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, and it's by the way, he is the judge and the jury on this. He appointed Barry Cowan, and it's only he that can resile from that appointment, so to speak. But Micheál Martin said he's surprised that he wasn't told about it. And in truth, PJ, wouldn't Barry Cowan have been much better off on the many occasions he had to speak, and he's a very high-powered member, a senior Fianna Fáil member. He's on numerous speeches in the Dáil, numerous radio, TV and newspaper interviews. If he had said it 3 years ago, oh, by the way, I had a misfortune or whatever, and I completely and got it out of the way. But the fact is that it only emerged after he was appointed a cabinet minister.
But Joe got what out of the way? The only thing he was getting out of the way is that he told them in relation to something that happened. But in relation to the something that happened, that was dealt with. How many people? No, just bear with me. I think this is a very important point I'm going to make.
You're talking about something that happened. Something that happened would be like somebody driving with a bald tire. That's something.
No. You're missing the point. Just let me make a point. Please. I think it's important.
Yeah,
I think it's important what I want to make. How many people today in this country is listening to this programme today, a fabulous programme, by the way, that Joe presents every day. But the point is, how many people is listening today and has some little demeanour in their life? And they weren't required. They weren't required to inform anybody other than the court system. Nobody. He has done what he's done. He got his conviction in relation to what he's done.
And you think being a cabinet minister is, it makes no difference. That's your point.
No.
You're saying how come Mrs. Murphy from Ballydehob, but a fictional name, obviously. How come she doesn't go on national radio and say it was knocked off for 3 months? But
I could equally say that I know a lot of people in high power positions who also have little demeanours, and I can guarantee you they haven't told the public. That's all I want to say.
I don't know what that means. Orla Cusack, Orla, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
You're listening to this debate.
I am, yeah. Well, I suppose for me, the whole thing goes back to, I had a little boy. He was knocked down 12 years ago by an unaccompanied learner driver. And at the time, there was no law there. So we went to court, and the person who had knocked him down didn't even receive a fine. So obviously, as a family, we were really upset by this. Our little boy was sick for 4 years, and then he died. The law has changed. And you think that things are going to be better. I have an 18-year-old now who has done his test and passed it. And for him and for the other young people in Ireland, it's a really, really bad example, I think.
And the law was changed. Like me, the law was changed in that a provisional licence holder could not drive unaccompanied.
Unaccompanied, yes. Mm. So at the time when Ian was knocked down, it wasn't a law. So there was nothing, you know, and then you fight for it, you hope that it will happen, and then it happens, and then you see this. So for families like us, it's really upsetting.
And what do you say to people who are defending Barry Cowan and saying, well, this, he did the crime and he did the punishment, he got the conviction off the road for 3 months?
Absolutely, but I mean, number one, he also had another fine. I'd like to know who was in the car with him. Was he accompanied or was he unaccompanied?
He said he was accompanied when the drink driving issue arose.
He was?
Yes. He was coming back from the All-Ireland. I think it was Mayo and Dublin.
And with the speeding one, was he accompanied? Nobody knows.
That's not clear from the
newspaper. Yeah.
But these are...
I suppose the other issue is a 49-year-old on a
He's 52, actually, I see. From
I'm 52 as well. And I just think that, you know... I suppose it's upsetting for families like us to see this happening with politicians. And I suppose it's not great for Micheál Martin, his first week in government, you know.
So what do you think, because it's up to Micheál Martin, what do you think Micheál Martin should do?
It's hard to know. I mean, one part of you would say, yes, it's in the past. But another part is, if when you're a politician, your life is in the public view. And, you know, for me, I'm very upset by the whole thing. So, should he resign? I don't know.
And Orla, can I ask, insofar as anyone can ever know the answer to this, but was the fact that the driver of the car, which knocked down Ian and he eventually died from his injuries, was the driver of the car anyway competent in driving, or did the authorities...
Well, my son was on the footpath.
Oh, God.
And another car came on the opposite side of the road, and the person pulled in too close to the footpath. And that person clipped him. He fell backwards then. He had no other injuries. I was just coming out of the house. He had nothing, only a brain injury. So when we brought him to the hospital, I'm a nurse, and actually Dr. Motherway, you know, the lady who is
intensive care unit.
She came out to me, and because I worked in Temple Street for 10 years as a nurse, and she told me that his injuries were catastrophic that day.
Oh, my God.
And they were. We went through Cork, and then we were in Temple Street and in the National Rehabilitation Hospital as well.
Well, is the punishment enough so far in that Barry Cowan has fessed up when the newspaper story broke? He said he's deeply ashamed, which is a big thing to say in public office. And in one sense, because it's been on the front pages and on the news bulletins and now debated here, is that not enough punishment for the man?
I suppose for me, the biggest question is why nobody, why it hadn't come up before this? You know, why Micheál Martin hadn't known about it? Because it is a considerable thing, you know. I mean, it's not something that, you know, it is considerable what he did. So I suppose, I don't know. Look, I'm not very politically minded anyway. I can't say he should resign. I don't know. But I do know that I think it's a very bad message to be giving people on their first week, his first week in his position.
Okay, Orla, and condolences on Ian's. How long were you caring then for Ian before he passed?
I was caring for him for 4 years.
Well, you were caring for him from the day he was born.
But, yes, absolutely.
Sorry, it's my clumsiness of language. He was five and a half,
and he was just starting. He was just in seniors, and so he lived then until he was nine.
Did he live at home with you, or did he required
between,
care? Obviously,
he 24-hour care. He never spoke. He was in a wheelchair. He was quadriplegic, severely brain damaged.
What a poor child.
And so I suppose I had a lot of experience because I worked in Temple Street for 10 years. And I had great friends, and we were with Charleville as well, the St. Joseph's Foundation. They were fantastic with me as well. So we all worked together. I could write a book about it all, to be honest with you. But,
and all the driver of the car who was on a provisional licence and unaccompanied, did he or she ever say anything afterwards? I know you said the law wasn't there to convict.
No, it was a neighbour. So we've moved house since then, and basically the person, obviously I don't want to get into it, but never apologised, and walked away scot-free. And you know, for us as a family, that was a huge, I suppose it was hard for us as well, but you know, we moved on and we set up a charity, and we have helped other families with children with acquired brain injury as well, because it's a tough one. Because you still have your child, but you have a completely different, you know, for us, like we lost our perfectly beautiful, normal boy, and then we were thrown into a world of special needs and care. And, you know, I mean, he used to have 40 seizures a day. He was tube fed, suctioned. So it's, you know, a whole different world. But so that's why for me it's upsetting, because I thought when the law changed, it would be different, you know, and then, as I say, you're trying to teach young people, you know, not to drink and drive, number one, and not to drive without somebody in the car with them.
Thanks, Orla.
It's a double whammy. Anyway, good to talk to you, Joy. Enjoy the show.
Thank you,
I think
Orla.
I've grown up over the COVID. I've been listening to RTÉ1 a lot.
Okay. Thank you. And condolences again, Orla, on Ian's passing. Margaret Cotter. Margaret, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. Your point, please.
First of all, I'd like to sympathise with that lady that lost her son there, and I can see that side of it too.
Yeah.
But I can't believe the amount of publicity this is getting. The man made a mistake 4 years ago, and he did his time. That's it. How many, you're going on about how many people are on provisional licences. What about back in the 80s when people were given the, what they were calling the cornflake licences? They were on licences.
There was
an amnesty,
Yeah,
they couldn't do the test. So they were able to drive for years without having a test done. Now, I know, I just can't believe if he wasn't made a minister, would they have come after him like this? And I'm not political minded.
And who's,
who's
they come after him like this?
I'd say it's the media, whoever broke the story.
But now, would it not have been better for Barry Cowan to break the story himself 4 years ago?
I suppose. Do they have to kind of make a disclosure before they go in for government? I don't know. As I said, I'm not political minded. I don't know.
Well, it's not an issue of having to, but is it? Would you tell the leader of your party, listen, especially when you're appointed to cabinet office, Barry Cowan has been around the block. His father was a TD. His brother was Taoiseach. Mm. But would you say to Taoiseach, oh, by the way, listen, this story might break. I just want to get it out of the way. I was put off the roll for 3 months back in 2016 for being over the limit and I was a provisional driver. But Micheál Martin said he was surprised that he knew nothing about it.
Well, maybe they should change now and ask them before they go into government, do you have something to tell? I think it was a minor offence. Look, if he was up for sexual offences or something like that. Offense. Yeah.
Hello,
admittedly.
Who's that coming in there? Sorry. Okay. Jimmy, do you want... Margaret's saying it's only a minor offence. It's not a sex offence.
Minor offence. Tell that to all the people that have been killed on Irish roads by drunk drivers. You know, it's not a minor offence. How can it be a minor offence?
He had two pints.
My heart is breaking for the people. It doesn't matter how many pints he had. Don't sally the people that have been killed on Irish roads every year by drunk drivers. Please don't do that. It's reprehensible that this man is going to make a little statement tonight at 8:30 and everything is going. He's not even going to answer questions. He's going to come into Dáil Éireann when nobody is there and make
irrelevant because it will be reported.
I know, but it's like don't minimise this by saying it was something small. It's not small. I mean, if the law was as harsh as it was, as he's broken the law so many times, speeding fines, parking tickets. I mean, if the law was really, really harsh, he wouldn't do it again. I mean, I'll give you an illustration. I have a 10-year-old daughter. Her bike was stolen on Sunday night. I rang the Gardaí, and the bike was bought back. Now, for weeks and weeks and weeks, she's been leaving her bike out the front. But when she felt that her bike was stolen from her, her bike is indoors now, and her scooter is indoors, and all her stuff is indoors. You know, she's learned her lesson, you know. Now, he didn't learn his lesson the first time this happened. He didn't learn his lesson the second time. He didn't learn the third time, you know. And and people will keep doing this stuff. And people will come on the radio and say, oh, it was just a minor little thing. It was just a... And he's paid the price. He hasn't paid the price. He's a government minister. He represents me and you, and he will represent us, our country, when he goes to Europe to speak on our behalf and speak on behalf of the farmers in this country. He does it, but he's compromised over there. He cannot go over there and represent while breaking the law.
Let Margaret back in. You know, Margaret.
That's crazy, Margaret. It's crazy.
Do you honestly think that he is the only minister that has something in his background?
Look, it has come into the public domain, and how
see,
it has
come
into the public domain himself.
Margaret, you know and I know that question you just asked is unanswerable. So I don't know whether it's helpful to the debate. The fact of the matter is that there is a perception, especially in the last 20 years, that some political parties some politicians, and some of them ended up in prison, as you know, politicians were hiding stuff and were involved. I'm not saying Mr. Cowan is doing this, but there is a perception. So it would have been better perception-wise, and would the public, and it's not just the media, because these are people who contacted us, would the public and the media be more forgiving, so to speak, if Mr. Cowan had said 4 years ago, oh, by the way, and one of the many opportunities he would, the local newspaper or whatever, oh, by the way, and he could have given an interview in particular circumstance and explained it in great detail, and the local Offaly Independent or whatever would have covered it in great detail, and that would have been the end of it. It's just that the whole whiff off it is harking back to the bad old days of some political parties.
Joe Hillary here. Can I make a point?
Yeah.
When people enter Dáil Éireann, they have to make a declaration of their business interests. So why don't they have to declare convictions? Would that not bring everything out into the open?
That's a good question, yeah.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Do they not have to disclose something if there's something? If I'm going to work with children, say, I know it's totally different, I have to go and get Garda vetting, and I have to give every one of my addresses, and anything that I have up against me is going to come against me with Garda vetting. So should it not be something similar to that?
We have a statement in from Barry Cowan, but it's basically saying the exact same thing he's been saying for the last week. I am deeply apologetic to all those close to me and all my colleagues for this appalling lapse of judgment. It was a stupid mistake on my part. I accepted my punishment without question. I didn't disclose it because I was deeply ashamed, and I'm profoundly sorry for having made the mistake.
It's hollow, Joe. It's very hollow when he says lapse of judgment. That's hollow, Joe. It really and truly is.
I agree.
A lapse of judgment is wearing a dirty shirt while you're going for an interview. That's a lapse of judgment. It's momentarily. He was driving for 8 or 9 years on a provisional licence.
But if, for example, Barry Cowan worked for Lidl or Aldi or whatever, or Du Barry or whatever, he wouldn't have lost his job over this.
No.
Well, he would have.
And
had
I
to,
don't
well,
think he should resign.
If he had a company car, Joe, he would have lost his job because
absolutely.
He would have went. Yeah.
What do you
mean? He would have lost his job. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If he was driving a company car,
Peter Macklin.
He wouldn't have got a company car if he was on a provisional license.
Might have falsified it. Stay with us.
51551. Back after this break. Watch out.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Well, Hillary, after that, Hillary, you're given what you've been through, what is your take on what Barry Cowan should do now?
I think he should go.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, it's inexcusable what he did. And when you've suffered a loss that we've suffered, you don't put levels of points, we'll call it, on offences. Mm-hmm. And to say that he served his time and all this sort of stuff, it doesn't sit well with me. Under the Clancy Amendment, to do with, I hate the term provisional licences because it's not a licence, it's a learner permit.
Okay.
When you do your test, you get a certificate of competency to say that you're competent to drive. And if you haven't passed the test, essentially, you're not competent to drive. So not only is he driving without a licence, but he's drunk driving and he's speeding. I mean, what more do we want?
Yeah, but the Clancy Amendment goes back to an issue raised earlier on. It's raised by you. And that is that the Clancy Amendment wouldn't apply to Barry Cowan because he owned a car. The Clancy Amendment penalises owners who allow provisional
license. In our case, the justice
and the car, and the car can be impounded. That was the other big. And a lot of them as we heard in this programme.
Yeah. Well, what the justice said in our case was that his parents, as owner of O'Shea's Garage in Tremor, gave him a car to use with their permission. I take that point.
Okay. Hillary, above all, condolences. I see the incredible photograph of you and your daughter. And God rest Katie. God rest her. Taken so young, 16. Stefan De Beer. Stefan, your point, please.
Joe, good afternoon. My point is, if you are a learner driver and you have a person next to you, that person is responsible for you. That is what the law says. That person is responsible for you. And that person should be the person who judges whether you are drunk or not. And that person is the person who should be saying to you, oi, you are speeding, slow down. Mm-hmm. Who was the person that was driving with Barry Cowan that night? Why did that person allow him?
Yeah, but Stefan, you're assuming, and which most people would, I suppose, that the person in the car knew that Barry Cowan was driving on a provisional licence. He or she may not have known. Do you follow me?
Yeah, I am making that assumption.
Because the Taoiseach of the land didn't know.
But then again, if that person drove with him purely as a guest, then he was not. He can't be the person that helps him as a learner driver. Then he was not. He was not accompanied at all. The person might as well, for that reason, have sat in the back of the car. because that person has to have control of the car. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know that the person next door to you is not qualified or has not the license...
That's a good point, that there is a reason. The unaccompanied driver isn't just to fill the passenger seat. The unaccompanied driver rule is that your unaccompanied driver must... that the person accompanying the holder of the provision license must have a full license. In other words, and that they have a role in the passenger seat, and that is the role is to assist and guide the driver who does not have a full license.
Exactly. And he should have said to him, you are speeding, assuming he knew. If he didn't know, well, then he was not accompanied, as far as I'm concerned. And if you work in the private industry, if you go back to your managing director on Monday and say to him, look, I was caught drunk driving and speeding on Friday night, I can tell you now, you'd have a tough time keeping your job.
And what and apparently if you're a frontline worker driving an ambulance or a police car and you're done for drink driving, you lose your job. But what about Margaret's point? It was 4 years ago. It was in the past on a scale, I'm quoting Margaret, paraphrasing Margaret, on a scale of 1 to 10. It's not a sexual offence. It was a relatively minor. The court recognised that. It didn't actually go to court because of the calibration of alcohol in the blood. And the man has been punished enough.
Look, the man is in public office. He works in public office. We should be able to trust him. Now, there's not a lot of trust if you just remember Pat Rabbit, who told us that that was then and this is now. But at least we should be able to trust him. This is a new government. We should be able to trust him. I sincerely believe that if Neil Martin wants to do the right thing tonight, he should say to him, on your horse, off you go. We can't have you in this government. I really believe, because already this government has had so much problems, that if Neil tonight wants to do the right thing, Barry Cowan should go.
Okay, Stefan. And Flood, Joe at RT.ie. And I've read out Barry Cowan's statement there again, but it's the same statement that he's been making the last few days, deeply shamed. That's the reason why he didn't tell anybody, and very remorseful. Anne, your point, please.
My point, well, I have a few points, Joe.
Okay.
Barry Cowan should resign. He broke the law how many thousands of times by driving on a provisional license? He got caught a couple of times.
No, hang on. He got caught once. Let's not start playing frisbee with the facts. He got caught once. You've no knowledge, or I've no knowledge. What was your phrase, that he drove without an unaccompanied driver, a qualified unaccompanied driver, thousands of times? He was caught once. That's the facts as we now know them.
Right. Fair enough. But let's face it, the history is probably there. But he was caught speeding. he was caught drink driving. He's a minister now. He didn't disclose it, and he should resign. But he is only one of several politicians in the last week who, when they were caught or public opinion went against them, they decided to do a bit of grovelling and say sorry for this or sorry for that. Billy Kelleher came to the convention centre. What was the point? He wasn't needed there. Michelle O'Neill, what was her point going there? What about going to the funeral?
Yeah, okay.
And all that went along, and now we discovered that the funeral they were at wasn't really the funeral at all. I just think
what do you mean by that, Anne? This is the Bobby Storey funeral.
The Bobby Storey funeral. They were all at the Republican plot.
In Milltown, yeah. That's where the speeches were made, and the coffin was... Is that not where he was buried?
No. He was brought straight away to the crematorium in Belfast. That was only a PR exercise. But again, the politicians are apologising. And I think there's been too much apologising. There's no sanctions. There's no follow-up. Words are cheap. They say a few I'm sorry's and it goes away. I don't think that's good enough.
Okay, stay with us, Anne. Mona Caulfield is in Athlone. Mona, your point, please.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Well, Joe, I just wanted to say something about Barry Cowan. Barry Cowan is a good man. He was elected. Mm-hmm. He won his seat. He has been appointed as minister, and I do not think he should resign. He made a mistake. We've all made mistakes, and which of us can cast the first stone? Joe, it was 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. He was at a match. He was out for a meal. He was in a good mood. He had 2 pints. Now, I'm not condoning anybody who drinks and drives, but he has apologised. It was 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Lots of people have forgotten about it. And I think it's very unfair.
The thing is, but lots of people have forgotten about it because most people didn't know about it.
Yeah, but why should he tell them?
Do you think his constituents should have known?
I don't, Joe. Oh,
okay.
I don't, Joe. He knows now he made a mistake. He didn't know at that time he made a mistake. I wonder if he was from Dublin 4, would he be asked to resign? Is it because he's an Offaly man? Is it because we're the Colchis, Joe?
Oh, Mona, stop.
And I won't
this
stop,
day and
Joe.
Age, we're in the middle of a pandemic saying the reason why someone is asked to resign is because he's a Colchis.
Joe, look it. We all know the way the country is left behind with lots and lots of things. Okay, if you want me to take back that little sentence, I will.
Well, it's not a crime. Don't be worrying. Sorry, it's my fault.
Yeah, but Joe, look it. He has apologised. If I apologised, if you apologised and say you're sorry for something, we're sorry, we mean it. Barry Cowan, he didn't kill anybody. He didn't hurt anybody. Mm. And I know I have the height of sympathy for people who've lost people. Mm-hmm. And I know you lost somebody belonging to you too. And I'm really, really sorry to hear that. I only heard that recently. Yeah. And it's an awful thing for people who've lost somebody. But Barry didn't kill anyone, Joe. And if he's sorry, he's sorry. Leave him alone. Let him get on with his job. And I do not think he should resign.
Okay. Does Jimmy want to reply to Mona?
Sure, yeah.
Just briefly, please.
Okay. I don't doubt for one minute that Barry Cowan is a good man. I don't doubt that at all.
Yeah.
But you've got to judge a person by the content of their personality, okay? And the content of his personality. Well, no, just let me finish. He's been driving for years and years and years on a learner's permit, and he's been breaking the law of the land while standing in public office and holding up a beacon to the rest of us, basically saying, we must all obey the law, except me. I'm exempt from the law. I can do what I like, and I can get away with it. I can even come before the Dáil now tonight at 8:30 and make my little apology, and everybody and all my colleagues will support me.
Okay,
no, that's not true.
Mona, okay,
Mona. Are you sure? What's your first name?
That's Jimmy.
Yeah, Jim. Are you sure that when Barry Cowan was driving that he didn't have somebody with him? Did you ever see him driving on his own on a provisional licence?
I'm only going by what he said last Sunday. What he said was it was a lapse of judgment. Okay. Now, in any normal sphere of life, a lapse of judgment, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm just using a metaphor.
Okay.
If you wear a dirty shirt, Jimmy,
you've made that point so many. That shirt will never come off your back at this stage. Peter McNamara, your point, please, Peter.
Joe, I was just where I'm coming from on this was that I was waiting for. To hear Barry Cowan's statement. Mm. But my first reaction when he came on and said that he had a problem with drink driving was, which is a terrible offence. And for people that have lost people, I have terrible sympathy for them. It's a dreadful, I've been a father of four myself. But my first reaction was, let him who has the first, who has never sinned, let him cast the first stone and we'll see what he has to say. Now I hear as well that, he's been driving on a provisional licence for, X amount of years, 20 plus years. Mm. And you have to take both things into account and say, unfortunately, you have to say, who is this guy? Well, if I had a son who didn't get his licence after so many years and he was running for public office and he was caught drink driving, I'd have to question, as Micheál Martin should, I think, the competence of such a chap to be in office. We have huge problems. We don't need to be discussing this at the moment. We have Brexit coming online. We have a pandemic to deal with.
I know.
We have 12 billion of exports. Look, I'm coming from a point of view that I met Micheál Martin once. I was involved in job creation all my life. I've been on to you, Joe, as regards. I was involved in the creation of MABS as well years ago. And I met Micheál Martin and brought him into a meeting one time when he was Minister for Industry, and he was great. And I was really looking forward to him coming in, even though I wouldn't be an avid Fianna Fáil supporter.
Micheál Martin is under threat now.
No, that's where I'm coming from. But look, we have huge problems. We have Shannon nearly closing down. In Barry Cowan's own constituency, they have huge problems, the Midlands, with generating stations closing down. And we need a regionalisation programme to go into force,
Okay.
The minister and the Taoiseach have too many things to be dealing with without these questions. Barry should actually fire himself or take himself aside for one time. And
Final caller, Maura, on this topic. Go ahead, Maura, your point, please.
Joe, how you doing?
Grand, thanks.
I think Barry, I'm not in a political party or anything like that. And I think that he has paid the price. I think he's got his punishment. He's been shamed, as it were, by the public media. And I think it's time to move on.
Okay.
And I say that with a deep understanding of what it's like to lose a family member in a car accident, not through drink driving, but through another situation. Two members of my family have lost their lives. So I'm not trying to...
Undermine the lady who lost the child. Okay, you're making the same point. I know that. Of course I know that. Peter and Maura make the same point. We decided to move on. Okay, 51551, my friend.